Good morning, everybody. You know, we talked about a few good things last night on Saturday night's get-together we had there. And, you know, the Lord's good. The Lord's good. And, you know, I woke up this morning. That's a praise the Lord. And I woke up this morning, and it was like all this stuff was hitting me right off the rip, right off the bat. Worry, fear, doubt. Right off the rip on Sunday morning. Go figure. But I had to battle through that. And I had to count on Jesus Christ and what He's done for me. And I had to rejoice in that. So not today. This is the day that the Lord has made. We sung that song. But you know, we were talking about a little bit last night, if we want to see God move, we have to be in extraordinary circumstances.
Yeah, that's the bad part sometimes.
That's the bad part sometimes. But to see Him move extraordinarily, we have to be in extraordinary circumstances. Quoted by Paul. But so, He moves every day.
He moves every day in every way.
Amen. Amen. And you know, you can get to the place where you're excited to see the Lord move. You know, because you're counting on how good He is. We sing that song, God is so good. Amen. That's true. And we can wake up and look forward to what the Lord has for us today. Regardless how it starts out. Regardless if it starts out with a bunch of fear, a bunch of doubt, a bunch of worry about stuff that we have no business accompanying our mind with.
That's right.
We can say, you know what? Praise the Lord. You've already done this. You've already done this work. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And watch the Lord move. Because He's already done it. He's already defeated. He has already overcome the world. But I wanted to, something came to my mind this morning, and I wanted to kind of read through it. And it's about the seed and the sower. So if you guys turn to Mark 4, 3. Give everybody some time to get there. I'm just making up scriptures now. All right. Hearken. Behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit, that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked him of him the parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. That seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, know you not this parable? And how then will you know all parables? And I'm really glad he goes to explain this parable. Because when I first read it, I didn't understand it. But the Lord's good, and He reveals it to us. The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And I want to talk about this a little bit here. The word is, the seed is the word of God. In this instance, we are the ground. And how many times, you know, we've talked about some things, we shared, put some things out there on the table. You know, we receive the word of the Lord a lot of times, and I've been in this place so many times I can't count. And I'm filled with joy, I'm on fire, I'm ready to whew, go out there and preach the gospel, I'm on fire. But as soon as a little tribulation hits, or something in the word offends me, gone. Don't hang in there. I don't hang on to that word. I don't trust in His grace. It's too much about me. And these are the stones that's in our hearts. And as we were sharing last night, we had some things that the Lord, you know, we prayed, you know, Lord, create in me a clean heart. And He goes about to showing you these things in your heart. And sometimes you go, oh, crap, I don't like that. That is ugly. That is ugly. But praise the Lord, He shows it to you. And these guys that are in the stony ground, which I have been many, 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 many times. But not today, praise the Lord, because He's good. They get offended at these things. They can't handle it. So they go back to the world. And it takes no root in them. Because they don't let go of those stones and those rocks in the way in their heart. And they don't lift it up and say, alright Lord, and I see it. This is ugly. I don't like it. I know I can't serve You with this garbage. So take it from me. Because it's keeping me from You. And as the Lord shows you these things, it's you endure through this. But you know, we can count on His sacrifice that covers all sin. And God's so good that He shows it to you. And we can make a choice whether to cleave to it or whether to give it to Him. And look, guys, you can give it to Him. What does the Scripture say in Peter? Cast your all your care upon Him, because what? He careth for you. He doesn't want you to have it. But for you to get rid of it, He shows it to you so you can make a choice to get rid of it. So you can continue in the discipleship and become that good ground to bring forth fruit unto righteousness. In Him, and only in Him can you do that. So let's continue on a little bit further. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. You know something that somebody pointed out to me? I think it was Ricky, said that word becometh. So there was a point and there was a time where it was fruitful. But when the thorns came up, it choked it out. Killed it. That's another example of those thorns in our hearts that arise up, that become before the Lord. And the cares of this world. I mean, what the stuff we worry about, the stuff we concern ourselves with, the deceitfulness of riches. Well, that's for the love of money is the root of all evil. You know, where's your heart at? Where's your heart at in this stuff? And you got to be careful because it says he that... Tell me.
He that endureth to the end shall be saved.
It's a battle. It's not a once saved, always saved, folks. I'm here to tell you that's not how it works. Because these things are going to pop up. And if you're not focused on the Lord, if you're not putting Him first before all things, these thorns are going to come up and bite you in the butt before you know it. It will. That's why we gather together. We become weed eaters. That's why fellowship is good for the soul. It's food for the soul. You have your brothers and sisters there to take out those weeds that come up. You know, I mean, you plant a garden, Brad.
Not very well,
but praise God, you plant a garden. But you know about this. Unless you keep hacking those weeds and those thorns out, it's gonna take over your food, isn't it? It's a lot easier if you stay on top of it. Amen. Hallelujah. So when these things that come up and arise in you, because this flesh is a constant pull. That's why it rises up. It wants what it wants. But you constantly rebuke it. You take authority over it. And you cast it down. Don't let those weeds and those thorns come up and take your salvation. Don't do it. It's a fight. It's a battle to keep the faith. And I'm going to continue on here a little bit. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Now, I want to be the good ground. And you know, what does Scripture talk about in John? You can do nothing, but I am the vine. My father's the husbandman. Does anybody have that scripture at hand? We can go about going about to read this. No, it's in John. John 15. Oh, I thought you said Psalm. Okay, sorry. Paul, you're probably dead on the money, sir. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not forth fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. So, you can't do this. In the flesh, but in the spirit, and then in Jesus Christ, you can do all things.
Amen.
Amen. And that's the thing. It's not about what we've done. It's not about what we do. It's about what Jesus Christ did and our faith in Him and our love for Him, which if we love Him, what? We keep His commandments. But it's about what He did and what He accomplished and walking in His victory. It's not about you. You want to be the good ground? You grab a hold of that and you hang on to it. And those stones that the Lord shows you in your heart that are in the way, throw them down. The cares of the world and those thorns that come up to come and choke you out, to make you unfruitful, cut it off. And you set your eyes on Jesus Christ and the hope of His calling for what He has done for you. You set your eyes on the prize. Pushing toward that. We're singing that song, "Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning." Alright, sorry Paul, I'm singing. It's probably killing people right now. Praise the Lord. Let me stop. That oil is the Spirit. And we hang on to that. And we set our eyes on Him. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He was the perfect example. And he's the one who did it and accomplished it. And we wake up every day and we can participate in his victory. Every day we have that opportunity. It is a praise the Lord that we can go out and do this. So hallelujah. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. But, you know, I guess with that, I'm done. Thank you for listening, folks.
Well, howdy doody. We have, when he was going through the seed and the sower, it just crossed my mind a little bit that we do, as ministers, sometimes without discernment and simply because we love people that we're ministering to, we sometimes end up sowing to those thorns and weeds. And people never get what we're trying to minister to them because we're not giving them what they need. We're given their circumstances. Giving to their circumstances when their real need was to have us pull those weeds out. You know, how we're able to love, how successful we are at loving, is measured by how successful we are at serving the Lord. I know I've seen within us and within many of the other churches I've been participants in, the Lord will show up in a magnificent way for somebody in this provision and this expression just of how much he loves somebody and meet him in a great and powerful way that everybody acknowledges was, you know, great. And we have a tendency to want to camp there and enjoy that provision. And then we find that we become unfruitful. We stop doing the first things that we did to get to that point. And what started out as a good thing for us becomes something that we turned into idolatry. Because it was never the provision that was the goal. It was pleasing the Lord. It was taking his provision and moving on to minister. Like the difference between the Dead Sea and the Sea of Galilee, right? That was the one's just a dead end. And the other one, water comes in and goes out. Water comes in and goes out. Our charge in the face of all the things that we proclaim each and every time we come together about the Lord's grace, his mercy, his provision, his love, our Savior's sacrifice, was not just for us. It was so we could be equipped with all the to be partakers of his divine nature and pass it on so we don't become dead. Amen. Not become idolaters of the things he's given us. I got a couple things here marked. And we'll see how this meshes in with the seed and the sower. And, you know, one of the things about that that has always gotten my attention is he turned around and explained the parable to his disciples. He didn't explain it to the crowd. It's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But I can't give it to them. It wasn't given to them. I spent a lot of time, I'm sure Philip did as well, probably Brad as well, worrying that I was part of the ones it wasn't given to. Because there are a lot of people who spend time coming to churches, showing up every time the doors open, but they're not. It's evident that they haven't received the word. They're not trying, they're not putting the word into to work, laying hold of the Lord, getting to know Him, become doers. They haven't committed their trust to Him, and He hasn't committed Himself to them. The world at large operates like, if you think you can, you think you spend time near where that stuff is, then you got it. And it doesn't work that way. So, you know, all the good works and stuff that, just because you know where the truth is, the truth isn't going to do you any good if you can't receive it. And the children of Israel in the desert, they had the Lord's provision. And He showed up every day, brand new for them. But, you know, they got used to that. And there was no variety, no change. So they wanted the variety and the change that they had back in Egypt. Staying stationary in the Lord's provision for you is like the Dead Sea. His provision for you is to pass it on to others. But the children in the desert, children of Israel in the desert, got it became not fruitful for them. It became idolatry and unbelief. They were special. They deserved this stuff. They deserved better than what they were getting. So let's do Colossians chapter 3. Everybody ought to have that one folded back by now.
I just opened my Bible and swung right at that page.
See how you are. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. Not on things on the earth. I read that a lot better when my eyes are actually on the words. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Let's sit on that, meditate on that just a little bit. Because that is our hope and the only thing we can rest in.
Amen.
Because everything else flows forth from that. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Now, where were we in Timothy 6 the other night, Tuesday night, and he was talking about quickeneth, God who quickeneth all things. This Christ who is our life. That's what that is. That's the quickening. Without him in here, we're dead. If he's not giving us his life, then we may be walking around, but we are dead men walking. That's why everything flows forth from this. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. All of that is idolatry. All right. There's a thing that is and a thing that there shouldn't be going on here, right? You're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Therefore, mortify your members which are upon the earth. This dead man walking is still on the earth. And the things that attract its attention are these: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Evil concupiscence is evil desire. All that is. Covetousness, uncleanness, inordinate affection. If I had to give a definition of inordinate affection, it would be idolatry. If I love my car more than somebody else would be satisfied with their car, that's inordinate affection. If I love a thing more than a person, if I love the provision of that God has provided for me more than the people I have been given it for, I'm an idolater. If I love my dog and show it more than I do Philip, which is pretty easy to do, but it was not really fair. If I love my wife more, if I have been given a ministry to somebody, a charge over them, and I get hung up on how gracious and merciful and loving the Lord has been to me by providing me this person, then I suddenly move myself out of the position of being able to minister to them. And I have a tendency to make them puffed up about their position. And you can actually remove the ability of the Lord to work in your ability to minister to other people just simply with inordinate affection. And it's idolatry. For which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. These people are still walking around with this running their lives. Inordinate affection is something we can weigh and measure, and we know how it feels. Oftentimes we don't know or have enough experience at hitting the "I please the Lord" mark. So we got to get off track a little bit and decide for ourselves that what we're doing in this situation is pleasing the Lord. And then all these weeds start going, and these thorns and these brambles. And our ministry's choked off. And you know, I have had inordinate affection, which has been pointed out to me repeatedly over and over again over the last 15 or so years. And I didn't like to hear that. I just thought it was part of what made me special and different. And what I found out was I was special and different, but I was...
Sure, school bus?
One of the things I want to say in mixed company, those things separated me from the Lord in receiving of His blessing. And it choked off my ability to receive from Him and give out. I didn't have anything to give out because I was all blocked up with inordinate affection and other of these things, which is all idolatry. In Galatians 5. Yeah. Galatians 5. I don't know if I want to go through that whole thing, but let's do 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. And, you know, the thing that kind of sprung me out of Colossians 3 is this stuff looks pretty good. It's like not being able to tell the difference between the wheat and the tares. Oh, doesn't he love his family? Isn't he good at his job? They're a match made in heaven. The stuff looks real good, but they're at war, keeping him from doing the things that he would. Or should do. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murderings, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you, I tell you before, as I also have told you in the time past, that they which do these such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. I'm not getting better at reading. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. You know, if the works of the flesh are these things, then we need to find out what love is. You know, love is not seeing the things in the job, the family, the house, the property, whatever it is, that are a major source of irritation, and finding joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Lord has not given me His Spirit, His provision, to just camp there and say, see how good the Lord's been to me? He's given it to me to go out and give it to others. And not make others, as He accused the Pharisees of making men, what did He say, seven times the sons of hell? You don't want to take your baggage and bind up other people with it, and then stroke them and tell them that they've received of the Lord. When in fact they have nothing, because you didn't have anything to give. You have any wisdom? You have any discernment? You didn't even have the truth of the gospel. they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Isn't that the same thing we just read in Colossians? You're dead and you're hid with Christ in God. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. This is different than provoking one another to righteousness and good works, or love and good works. This is empty. It's vanity. Back in Colossians 3. We'll go back to 5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For such things' sake, the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. I don't want to be there either. In the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: angers, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. We've gone over this all, we've seen this all before. This is 2nd, 3rd, 28th, 47th witness. How many of these you got to have? This is about choosing to war. To war, the fight, the good fight. The 2 Corinthians 10. Weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty. The pulling down of strongholds. You have to commit to that war. To hold in obedience every thought. To Jesus Christ. You have to decide within your mind. You make the choice. I'm not going to do these things here. I'm going to put on, therefore, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. These don't come natural to us. And you'll know where somebody is with the Lord by how successful they are at doing this. Above all these things, put on charity, agape, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which you are also called in one body. And be thankful. When you're doing this, you have attained a peace treaty with God. We have not received anything that the Lord has provided for us to hang on to it, to camp there and say, I've arrived. If I can just lay hold of this thing to the end, if I can wrap my arms around it and have him drag me to the end of this, I have run the race. I fought the good fight. And where I am today is pleasing to him. Then I got somewhere.